Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bob, your sat radio host, Bob Barber here. Tonight we have a pre-recorded law class for tribal courts. The instructor was Judge Naidu, and he'll be talking about Latin maxims contracts. It's interesting. It'll be three nights in a row on Latin maxims contracts. So this is the first one tonight, followed up by two additional nights so we can complete the Latin maxims. Does anybody have a question or comment or have any suggestion at all? Go ahead and press 1. We'll wait a few more seconds here so more people can come in before I start the class. Okay, let me begin the class.
Good morning, Judge.
Yes, is everybody ready with their notes?
Yes, they got their notes up, most of them, I guess.
Okay. Did you have something to say?
No, we have 15 on now.
Okay, let's get started. Now, in law, the only tool you have outside of your mind is the words and phrases you employ. Just as a surgeon will need all his surgical tools and scalpels and whatever you have, lawyers and judges and prosecutors, all they have are words. How we use those words determines the intent, content, extent, scope, scale, effect, and impact of your expectation. Always remember that. You don't know something, you're not sure of a particular phrase, ask. Oftentimes, we are all victims of not asking. Oftentimes we say, well, I better not ask someone one thing, I'm stupid. The problem is, the only question that's not asked, that's a stupid thing to do. I mean, you don't ask the obvious. When am I getting the check? On the 15th of May, 2015. Well, will it be delivered by a postman or a woman? I mean, how will we know that, you know? So that doesn't constitute as a fair question. Now, what I've done over the years is compiled a list of Latin rules of interpretation, or what's known as, you see, this thing called the rule of law. I hate that phrase. The law is the law. Why the rule of law? There's a difference between a rule and a law. So this thing about the rule of law, I consider it a crazy, bizarre statement. Why don't we say the role of justice? Just like people say, oh, where do you practice law? Someone asked me a long time ago, where do you practice? I said, I experience justice all over the world where I sit as a presiding judge, whether it's in Australia, New Zealand, India, Malaysia, wherever there is a tribal court, especially in Malaysia, I sit to experience justice, not to practice law. I mean, if I'm in practice, I'm practicing. practice makes perfect. Yeah?
Yep.
You know, like a practice shot in golf. Let's take a few practice shots. Make sure it's right. Make sure the swing is right. Make sure the impact is right. So this practice of the law is an idiotic statement, a monkey aberration, I call it. So let's not use the word rule of law if we can help it, but we will employ the term role of justice.
Okay.
Very important to understand that. Now, these Latin maxims are what's called the first principles of law. In other words, before parliaments and legislatures came into being, people experienced a judgment of the court and decided that we should call them the first principles of law. Like, thou shalt not steal. It's a commandment. But we call it the law. The commandment by a supreme being is not the same as a law made by man. Like G.K. Chesterton said, we do not get good laws to restrain bad people. We get good people to restrain bad laws. That determines and describes and defines America. You name it, we have a law. Yeah? Seriously, there are books out there called Ridiculous Laws. I read somewhere, and I stand corrected, that in Vermont, a 13-year-old girl can get married. But I'll confirm that. It's not a question of 18 or the age of majority. They consider 13 or 14 to be the age of discernment. And therefore, you're fit to marry. And then they turn around and condemn Muslim countries where girls 13 and 12 and 14 get married. So the first principles of law, I've compiled a few so that when you enter into a contractual relationship, getting married, buying a house, buying a car, buying a vacuum cleaner, whatever you do, you need to know what you're doing after you've had MOM, Meeting of Minds, M-O-M. The whole idea of these maxims, which must apply to each and every clause of the contract, is to make sure that both parties understand exactly what you're entering into. It's very important that you enter into a meaningful dialogue so that there will be a meeting. I cannot emphasize that enough. Most of us are victims of after the fact. Oh, if only I had known. Well, now you know. Now, the first maxim is a very, very useful maxim. Animus hominis est animae scriptae. The intention of the parties is the soul of the instrument. So what did you intend? What did you expect? What did you want? What did you need? What is it that you said that could have been said better? What is it that you wanted that could have been expressed better? So the intention of the parties is the soul of the instrument. I intend to sell you my car. You intend to buy a car. Any car. but I intend to sell my car. So I have certain expectations that you will pay me on time and that my car will not break down. Now, if I'm going to buy a used car, my obvious question will be, do you have a list of all the repairs you've done for the car? So that will tell you how many parts were changed. And that, and with that information, you can determine the longevity of the car. And then you notice he's changed this and he's changed that and he's changed a lot of things, but he hasn't changed the fan belt. In 60,000 miles, you haven't changed the fan belt. You should ask, why didn't you change the fan belt? See, my intention is to sell my car. Your intention is to buy a car. The representations I have made are honest. These are all the copies of the receipts. And yes, I haven't changed the fan belt. But that's only $35. Labor is $150. Whatever. You need to do that. So now there is a meeting of minds, you see. I've changed the radiator. Like one time, I have a fascination for Volkswagen bugs. And this guy wanted to sell me his Volkswagen bug. I already have three. I collect them. I asked this guy, when did you change the radiator last? Oh, he said last year. I knew he was lying because it's an air-cooled engine. It has no radiator. And I said, can you show me the change radiator? And he said, yeah. He didn't even know what he was talking about, but I bought the car. So, the intention, I intend to sell my car, you intend to have wheels. You don't intend to have faulty, defective wheels. You want a reliable car. I want to sell my car because I need the money. You want reliable transportation. You see the expectation here? So it's a win-win situation if I get the price I ask for and if the buyer concluded a sale where he is assured of a reliable set of wheels. Now, that is the expectation, that is the end result of the intention to sell and the intention to purchase. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's like buying a house or renting a house. The guy says, no pets. Define pet. What's a pet? So you say, you mean absolutely no pets? Nope. So what's the meaning of a pet? Let's split hairs here. Pet. Denoting a thing that one devotes special attention to or feels particularly strongly about. How about a taxidermist rendition of a snake or a cat or a dog or a cougar? Is that a pet? It is a pet. A domestic or tamed animal or bird kept for companionship or pleasure. Or denoting a thing that one devotes special attention to. So a pet could be a live animal or a stuffed animal, depending on how you want to define it. Some rental agreements say no pets. So what is a pet? I've just defined it. Go to the dictionary and there'll be various meanings. It doesn't say live pet or stuffed animal.
Yeah.
But did you have a meeting of mine? Hey, you said no pets. I mean, I don't have a cougar or a python or a boa constrictor running around or a wolf. How about a cat, a small dog? Well, we don't believe in pets. Yeah, I know that. But would you allow me a cat? And the landlady or landlord says, absolutely not. Then you decide you're going to sneak in a pet. There was a time many, many years ago when I claimed my pets as dependents for my income tax returns. Income tax came after me, not in this country, another country, and said, what are you, some kind of comedian? And I turned around and said, does this law in our country, in this country, allow animals to be beneficiaries of large amounts of money? And they said, yeah, what has that got to do with anything? So I told the judge, if an animal can be a beneficiary of a large amount of money, why can't I claim my animal as a dependent? Because when my cat or dog falls sick, I need to take it to a vet. Oh, by the way, I love vets, veterinarians. They never ask the dog or the cat or the animal where it hurts. They know. I love vets. So, the intention of the parties is the soul of the instrument. You go to buy a house. They want to sell a house. You need a house. You want a house. See, your need and your wants and your requirements are far more greater than their need to make money. The intention of the seller is to make money. The intention of the seller is to sell you a mortgage note. He's not selling you a house. The house is never yours. Mortgage note is yours. But then they don't tell you what they're going to do with your mortgage note and 50 million other mortgage notes. See, that's where non-disclosure of securitization becomes a major cause of action when you claim mortgage fraud, unjust enrichment, because they did not disclose to you. Case in point, Jasinowski versus Countrywide Home Loans LLC, Supreme Court case, read it up. It's up on our board. So the intention of this seller was to make huge profits at your expense. Your intention was to house your family. Now, you see, the intention of both parties now varies. You have a need. They have a want, a need and a want, two different things. They want to make money. You need shelter. So the intention of the parties, if that is the soul of the instrument, why didn't you ask during the meeting of minds, what is your intention? Like in Singapore. The intention of the government was to have affordable housing for everyone. And at the same time, make money. The intention of the citizen of Singapore was to have a roof. We don't have space, so we go 30 some floors up into the air. They sell you strata title. You don't have title to land, you have air. Title to air, to space. Government owns space, not land, space. You have an office or an apartment in the 97th floor. Wow, you got strata title. The government owns the space. shoved up into the air. Intention, expectation, never the same. So remember, folks, your intention and the intention of the other party are at odds. Your expectations are at odds. Why? Because there was no meeting of minds. First time I went to buy a house, I said, this is all I can afford. He says, no. I said, fine, I'm going elsewhere. He said, sorry, I really wanted the house. And I knew he really wanted to sell. 1 week, nothing happened. On the 10th day, they called. Why don't you pay me what I want? I'll take what you have, and then you can slowly pay me. I said, define slowly. So finally, I bought the house. Because my intention was to own that house. His intention was to get some money fast. So both our intentions were not at odds. I needed a house. I wanted a house. He needed the money. But on my terms. So the meeting of minds worked. So it's very important, folks. Animus hominis est animae scripti. Your intention, your expectation must be clearly represented. Either by words or by deed or in a contract, specialty contract. When you write down and memorialize all your intentions and expectations. Any questions before we move on to the next one?
Well, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
I wanted to make the point that practice makes permanent. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Very good, Adam. That's very good. Anyone else with a comment, a question? Moving on. Suppressio verae, expressio falsi. Now, my spell check is married to the devil again. So, verai is to be spelled V-E-R-I.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah, not very. So, yeah, it's very difficult to control my spell check. And expressio, not expression. And we are not talking coffee here. Suppressio verai. Verai, virai, veritas, means the truth. Expressio falsi. Of course, falsi means a false thing. So basically, suppressio verai, expressio falsi means suppression of the truth is equal to expression of a falsehood. So when you suppress something, you are literally lying. So when you're selling something or buying something, and the seller does not tell the whole truth, that's why in a court of law, or a court of equity, raise your right hand, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That means they are saying you shouldn't suppress anything. But the moment someone says, raise your right hand, take an oath, you're not supposed to take an oath because you don't know what you're swearing to. Bible says you should not take an oath. Yeah. Matthew 5:34. Do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. So, don't take an oath. Well, the only way not to take an oath is don't go into their jurisdiction. The only way you don't go into their jurisdiction is send them the GTH LMI LMA letter. This is your right to be let alone. You got no contract with them. Yeah? So, on the other hand, you're going to go buy a car, buy a house. Right? But then you don't tell them that you only have a temporary job. You don't have you only have financial statements. You don't have proof of salary, nothing. But you want the car in a hurry. You want the house in a hurry. So you suppress the truth. The moment you do that, you're lying. It's an expression of falsehood. Cuts both ways, folks. They lie, you lie. So that guy says, I lied because I knew he lied. I'm telling you the truth. I lied then. No, I'm not lying now. I'm telling you the truth now that I lied then. I mean, I lied because I knew he lied. But I'm telling you the truth now. Wonderful, isn't it?
I've heard
the
that.
The effect of human conduct. How we say things we don't mean, buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't like. Definition of a credit card. Buying things you don't have money for, to impress people you don't like, and things that you don't need. So be very careful, folks. It's the seller telling you the truth. Like when I bought my second house, I asked this fella. I had memorized the QWR. He said, and then I looked at him and said, so what happens to my mortgage note? And he came back with a brilliant answer. What do you mean? Hmm. I said, Kalau sa bili ini barang macam mana apa mau jadi? He said, excuse me? I told him I'm speaking to you in Indonesian because obviously you didn't understand English. No, he said, no. I mean, what was your question? I said, what happens to my mortgage note? And you came back with what did you mean? And that's why I explained it in another language. Oh, he says, your mortgage note? Yeah, my mortgage note. Well, you get to pay every month. I said, yeah, that I know. My question to you is, what do you do with my mortgage note? Now, mind you, I knew all about it. And this guy says, then, I really don't understand the question. I said, then why am I buying the house from you? Aren't you a licensed realtor? He said, oh, yeah. You don't know what a mortgage note is? He said, yeah, I do. I said, what is a mortgage note? And he was, poor fellow, was bumbling and, you know. Then I said, will your boss know? He says, yeah. So we called the boss. The boss man came in and said, what do you mean? What happens to your mortgage note? Again, I talked to him in a foreign language. Help! He calls his attorney. This is a true story. The attorney didn't have a clue what happens to a mortgage note. Then I took time to explain to them what happens. And the attorney, his eyes were getting bigger and bigger. And then he looked at me and said, do you have a business card, Mr. Naidu? I said, yes, I do. And he emailed me. Because he made some serious blunders when he bought his house. He didn't even have a clue. He didn't even have a clue about a REMIC and what happens to mortgage notes.
Good one.
So finally, the boss man and the realtor came and said, what is it you want? I told him, listen, It's very simple. I can buy this house for cash, but I want to take out a mortgage. How much will you pay me when you take my mortgage note into a REMIC? Oh, he says, I don't know. I got to discuss it. I said, listen, you're going to take my mortgage note and you're going to put it into a real estate mortgage investment conduit, which is a trust. And you're going to make millions. What do I get? He said, what do you want? I said, I want part of the millions. He said, let me talk to a few people. So he talks to a few people, and a few people turn on and said, don't do business with that madcap. The moment you give him a profit, we are out of business. That's what this boss man told me and the realtor told me. There is no way they'll give you part of the profits. The only benefit, the only bonus you get, and the only advantage you get is you pay the mortgage on that date. They make millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. You get nothing. And that's considered liberty, freedom, fairness, equity in America? Or as Megyn Kelly says, America! Now, what are people doing? They are blindly accepting the monthly mortgage. They don't challenge it. They don't send a QWR. They don't challenge the county tax assessor. You're not only challenging the county tax assessor for suppressing the truth. He is collecting a tax which should go to the Native Americans. 18 U.S.C. 1151, where's the proof? Where is the evidence that your mortgage, that your Indian title was extinguished? They can never prove it. Never. So who's suppressing the truth? When they suppress the truth, they're telling a lie. They are expressing a falsehood. Now, folks, the reason I'm concentrating on contracts last few weeks is we are all in commerce. The moment you wake up and you decided to have a cup of coffee or tea or brush your teeth, you're using a product produced by somebody. You don't know whether it's going to poison you. You don't know whether it's going to maim you. You don't know whether it's going to harm you. You buy some toothpaste. Right? You throw away the receipt. I don't. I keep it. You never know what's in the toothpaste. Were you there when they shoved that paste into the tube and sealed it? You never know what comes out. Like that proverbial Donahue versus Stevenson, 1932 case, where this guy opened a soda bottle and poured out the contents and out came a dead snail. Famous case, Donahue versus Stevenson, 1932. Google it. That's one of the first cases I read when I was reading law in England. The famous snail. And finally, the appellate court in England said that the manufacturer owed a duty of care to the ultimate consumer. Wonderful case, Donahue, D-O-N-O-G-H-U-E, versus Stevenson, S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N. So bear that in mind, folks. The fact that they don't tell you what they do with the mortgage note is in itself a suppression of the truth. Aha, now you know. Questions? Comments?
Judge.
Yes.
With the mortgages, what you're talking about, when they start to bother you like you may be a month behind, and they start aggravating you, where's the money, where's the money? And you ask them, well, can you tell me who you are? I mean, you just bought my mortgage some time back. Why did you, you bought it, now I didn't give you consent.
No. That's not a good response. Your response should be, I'm studying law, and I realize that I've been duped. So I have some questions for you, Mr. Debt Collector. I'm going to send it to you through a qualified written request. And if moron, SM, standard moron says, oh, what's that? You can tell him you don't know what a QWR is. Under 12 United States Code, section 2605, subsection E, subsection 1, subsection B, qualified written request. I just found out that I've been duped. You never told me about securitization REMICs. You didn't tell me that a REMIC is a trust. You didn't tell me that you make enormous profits from my mortgage note. That's what you tell them. Don't get cued with, I don't know who you are. What's your callback number? Are you a debt? Forget all that. Won't you? Kindergarten stuff. Yes, I need some answers. Well, now that you know, I would recommend that you tell everybody, whether you like them or you don't, to send out the QWR. It is your, and they have suppressed the truth. So before they bother you, send out the QWR for all those of you who are paying mortgages. Yeah, there's somebody having a private conversation in the background. So,
yeah, I just muted it.
So the QWR is qualified written request. And that is, will that be on our website or?
It has never been on our website. I just made it up.
Well, there are.
Come on, Jason, you know it's there.
All right.
It's there. Send it out. Send it out to everybody that you know who has a mortgage. It is your right to know why they suppress the truth. Because that vitiates, doesn't mitigate it, it cancels out a contract. They suppress the truth. Any questions, concerns, statements, opinions?
Yep.
Nobody?
Well, it's good to me. Thank you, Judge.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What was the intention of the landlady when she gave you a month-to-month, for example? What was her intention?
She had said that the family wanted to sell the house sometime within the next year or two.
No. I'm talking in the beginning when the landlady agreed to rent out month-to-month was the question asked. Why month-to-month? So you want to make some money in the meantime, sell the house. You want to make some money in the meantime. You want to have the cake and eat it as well. You follow me?
Yeah, I should have reacted that way, yes.
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Yes. Judge, when you think about, I guess when you think about that, when you go to establish the loan, if you, once you sit down, and you go, you go to the closing, and you're at the closing table, then you bring up these questions. At that time, it's either you can either keep up, get the house, or you can back away from it. Now, a lot of times the mortgage person that you were dealing with that did the financing for you that's in there, is going to be there saying, well, if you need to answer any questions, wait until blase time after this is done because we got a lot going on. And so I have experienced that. And I guess when if presented to a person, you know, about like the QWR in terms of the closing attorney at that time, is it his point to tell me that this is all about, or to be able to define that to me?
Absolutely.
And then
the problem is most people, if in fact 99% of the people, when they buy a piece of real estate, the law that governs that purchase is RESPA, R-E-S-P-A, Real
right,
Estate
right.
Settlement Procedures Act. It's not the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code. And RESPA is all about the fees that you pay during closing, the price of the house. It doesn't reveal much. So that's when you have to ask. I mean, you don't send out the QWR yet because you haven't bought the house yet, but you ask questions that will be relevant in the qualified written request. What happened to my mortgage note? Is it bundled and sold? Oh, really? What do I get out of it? Oh, I get nothing? To hell with you. I'm not buying your house. See, because you don't know. The law under which you purchase the house, you don't even know. Like the second house I bought, I wanted to do a mortgage because they agreed to pay me a certain amount, then they changed your mind. And I said, nope, I'm not going to participate in this mortgage game. Either I pay cash or that's it. Or I go for a FSBO, for sale by owner. So you've got to ask those questions. And if they suppress the truth, you got a cause of action.
I see.
But you've got to make sure. You what?
No, I was going to ask you, but go ahead. I think something to go ahead.
You got to ask the right questions. You don't know what to ask, read up or send us an email. Knowledge Village will be able to help you. Or read up the QWR, which is on our notice board, all those questions you must ask. Under what law am I entering into this mortgage? RESPA. Wrong answer.
Well, let me actually listen then, because I guess the question was sent to me, and I was kind of trying to figure out how to tell this person a correct answer, and that was with the when you were sending your contracts back.
Well, send me a private email. Send me a private email. We'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Moving on. Any other questions, folks, before we move on to the third?
Not really, Judge. It's pretty understandable.
Okay. The third one, exterpi causa non oritur actio. Not action. Spell check. It's actio. Exterpi causa non oritur actio. Now, this is what you throw at the lender. For example, the mortgage lender. If he sues you, if it arises in connection with his own illegal act, this is what you prove in a court of law. A claimant will be unable to pursue a cause of action if it arises in connection with his own illegal act. He did not reveal all the facts to you. He suppressed the truth, never told you what his intention was. So you tell the judge that he engaged in an illegal act. He cannot have a right to a cause of action. Your intention, even if hidden, will be revealed ultimately. You would never buy a house in America where they tell you what happens. Never. Why? Because they know. Every home owner, home purchaser, mortgage note buyer, as far as they're concerned, is an SM. Standard moron. Doesn't know the law. Well, it's not a question of doesn't know the law. Ignorance of the facts is a valid excuse. You didn't know the facts. Forget the law. We're not talking about the law. We're talking about the facts.
Right.
See, if they throw that at you, you can say, Your Honor, this has nothing to do with ignorance of the law. And that's another stupid statement. Ignorance of the law. You mean every lawyer, every judge knows every part of the law? I've never been able to come to terms with that. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I mean, I don't claim to know every aspect of the law. Unless, of course, something bothers me and I go and take the trouble to find out, which is almost every day. Ignorance of the law is no issue. What kind of garbage is that? I will admit to you, with a doctorate in law, I claim that I don't know everything. And that's the truth. How can you claim to know everything? No one can claim to know everything at any given point in time. Unless you refer, or unless you check, or unless you research. Yes? So, exterpi causa non oritor actio. This is especially relevant to the mortgage lenders. They cannot, should not, must not file suit against you because of their own illegal act. Moving on. Please, if you're going to cough, can you silence yourself? Thank you very much. Next, res inter alios acta alterae nocere non debet. This is a very interesting thing. Things done between strangers ought not to affect a third person who's a stranger to the transaction. This tells me about Article 1, Section 10. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So why did you involve the government in your affairs? By taking someone to court. Just because you failed to have a mom, a meeting of minds. See, this is what happens. Your intention was not expressed in your expectation. The other guy's intention was hidden. Everybody hit their intention and expectations. Well, expectations are predictable, but intentions are often hidden. So when you involve the government by going through a federal court or a state court, now a tribal court is different because we are always on the side of our people. When it comes to mortgage, or when it comes to a criminal act, we know they have no jurisdiction. 18 U.S.C. 1152 and 25 U.S.C. Section 1301. Tribal governments have exclusive criminal jurisdiction over Indians, enrolled or naturalized. Mortgage, we know that you've been duped, you've been cheated, you've been scammed right from the word go. So why even bother involving the government? You mean the government is going to take your side? A clever lawyer, a clever attorney, I meant, he will twist and turn the facts.
Oh, you signed a contract. Yeah, but I didn't know it was RESPA or UCC. Tough. You signed it. There's no meeting of minds. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Garbage. This is ignorance of the facts. So be careful if you're going to bring in the courts. I'm not talking ecclesiastical courts or tribal courts. Be careful bringing in a third party. All right?
All right.
Two people got into a deal, and now you're going to go and bring in the court. Well, if you have no choice, you have no choice. The landlady or the mortgage lender or the seller or the employer, it's the same with employment law. You go get a university degree and, you know, you're jobless for 10 months, 2 years. You finally go for an interview, you do the best, and you get the job. You're willing to sign away your rights. The first job I held as a lawyer in America, this guy says, what kind of a salary are you expecting, Mr. Naidu? I told him $250,000 a year. He looked at me and said, I don't even make half that much. I turned back at him and said, what makes you think I'm not twice as good as you? Cut long story short, I got the job because I proved my worth. This guy didn't expect it. There were 20 other applicants. And the senior partner came to me and said, now how the devil are we going to do this? I said, you pay me $125 and put the other $125 into a trust account. He narrowed his eyes. You know all about that? I said, you just hired me, right? Put it in a trust. No tax on that one. Oh, yeah? Wow. You see? You see? It got nothing to do with the law. Facts. Facts. So don't involve a third party if you already had a meeting of the minds. Ask, write, think, plan, and don't make a decision on the spot. Give it a couple of days. Sleep over it. Always a good idea. Sleep over it. The house, the car, the vacuum cleaner, the job, it ain't going to go away. But don't sign away your rights. Involving third parties, especially a court of law, comes to mortgage law. Out of 1,000 cases that passes through their dockets, you may have a Glasky here, an Ibanez there, a Jesinowski somewhere else. Thousands of cases get heard, badly submitted, inartfully presented, and you lose. Questions? An obvious question should be, so when do I not take the matter? What was that?
I cut it off.
A valid question would be, when do I not take a case to a court of law? Problem is, you're taking it to a court of law. You're not taking it to a court of equity. You come to a ecclesiastical court or a tribal court, you will find equity, because we are not operating under the as a court of law. We are operating under the maxims of equity. So don't involve a third party, especially the government. Because what the government does is, first they take $450 from you. That's your filing fee. And you got to go and hire an attorney. So you're already in commerce in their jurisdiction.
You go into their jurisdiction, you don't like it, then you come running to us. But you've done enough damage to yourself that the guillotine has come down and chopped your head. Judge Naidu, help me. Yes, I'll make you walk again, but you're a Frankenstein. Why did you go put your head in the first place under the guillotine? Come to me when your head is still on your shoulders and you're intact, your rights are intact, like your head on your shoulders. Then we will fight. And by God, we will fight to win. The next most important thing in a contract is contained in the maxim, expressio unius est exclusio ulterius.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning one thing may exclude any other thing, or expressum facit cessari tacitum. The expression of one thing excludes the implication of something else. Okay, now let's take, for example, my favorite, parking only on Sundays. Literally means you can only park there on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. You're not allowed to park. You can't say, well, it says parking only on Sundays. You did not say no parking on Mondays, Tuesdays. I parked there on a Saturday. Well, parking only on Sundays. What do you mean? We didn't mention Saturdays and Fridays. It only says, it says very clearly, parking only on Sundays. Operative word is only. So, coming back to a mortgage, when they don't talk about the securitization, when they don't talk about the fact that they're going to put it in a REMIC, they conveniently say, mentioning one thing may exclude another thing. But what if they don't mention it? What happens when they don't mention something?
Oh,
what have they done?
They've made a falsehood.
They have suppressed
right.
the truth.
Suppressed the truth is liberal expression of falsehood.
Right. So when they don't mention something, we cannot imply what is not mentioned. But they have suppressed the truth, which is an expression of a falsehood. Or simply put, when you suppress something, you are lying.
By omission.
Right. You have given them permission to lie because you did not ask. So be very careful what is in the contract. The expression of one thing excludes the implication of something else. Be careful of exemptions and exceptions. Exemptions you ask, they can say yes or no. An exception you invoke, no question of asking. Like the 501c3, you ask for a tax exemption. A 508C1A, you invoke the right not to pay the tax. You don't ask a permission. When you ask, they can say yes and throw in condition, or they can say no. But an exception, you invoke it. Okay? I'm going to take a 5-minute breather, get myself a cup of tea.
Okay. Thank you, Judge.
Okay?
Okay. If people want to discuss... People want to discuss any of that?
Yeah, Tom, I had unmuted to try and ask a question as it pertains to parking tickets, and then you muted, so I had to come back in completely, because when you mute someone on the call who's on the computer, they can't ever unmute again.
Okay, but
I kind of missed the time.
When you're making backup.
But I wasn't moving. I was sitting here very quietly.
Well, actually, there's a lot of background noise coming from you right now.
Okay, I'm not moving a muscle. I'm sitting here. It must be the fan that's inside the computer or the motor in the computer because...
Turn your volume down a little bit more because it's like the swell.
Happy now?
No, when you're talking, the noise.
Okay,
is
I
there.
Can't hear it. I can barely hear.
When you're talking, it's okay. When you're not talking, it's very noisy.
Oh, well, I had barely unmuted and didn't even get to ask the question.
How are you calling in?
Via my computer.
Okay, then there's a bug in that software somewhere.
I don't know what to tell you.
Because I did mute a VOIP making tremendous noise before. It's like a huge rush of air going by.
Well, I'm not even moving.
That's not the problem. The problem is the noise is coming out. So it's coming from somewhere else. It's all right now. Because
when I'm not talking, I'm always muted. The only time I unmute is to try and ask a question.
Okay. Well, then better stick to that because you better, when you ask the question, talk right away and turn it off right away to even hear the answer.
That's what I do.
Whatever line you're on, there's a whole lot of noise on it. So unless you're talking, turn it off.
Well, you didn't hear anything until I unmuted to ask my question.
Right. No, I heard plenty. When you're unmuted and you're not talking, there's noise.
What I'm telling you is that I'm never unmuted unless I'm trying to ask a question. So you couldn't have been hearing a bunch of noise from me. I was waiting for him to pause. He said, are there any questions? I unmuted so I could ask a question, and then somebody else started talking. So, I mean, it was like...
Well, when I cut you off...
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about it.
When I cut you off 5 or 10 minutes ago, there was just flat noise and no one saying anything. So I'm learning a lot from these expressions here. It's going to help with some of the situations I'm dealing with. I hope it's the same for you people. I notice I don't have the qualified written request up on this site. I'll get it from the other site and put it up later.
I thought we had it up, Tom.
No, we had it on the monetized site. We didn't move it over to the tribal law site. So I'll be doing that right now.
Yeah, that plus the letter to the county assessor.
Yes, I've got that down too to do. I'll look at all the files that are different and make sure they're the same.
Okay, there was a lady who had some a question and she couldn't mute herself.
That's me. So my question is this. I got a parking ticket today, and I know that they don't tell you that they monetize those too. So I guess my question to you is, what's my best course of action to handle it?
Well, the one thing you can do if you want to throw a spanner in the works, is to tell them that you parked it in Indian country, 18 U.S.C. 1151. And that the actual location where your car was parked, the court needs to prove that Indian title was extinguished. If you want to rattle the cage and throw a spanner in the works, if they can't prove that they own title, then you don't owe the fine. In other words, you're challenging the jurisdiction.
I think I can have some fun with that.
Have some fun. And secondly, remember, you chose to park there where it says you cannot park. Number two, you chose their jurisdiction.
Actually, they chose the jurisdiction long before I was born, or they tried to claim such.
Yeah, that's what I said. Go and tell them that you are parked in Indian country because, Your Honor, the court has to prove the title to that spot where my car was parked. That title, that Indian title was extinguished. If you cannot prove that, then I was parked in Indian country, 18 U.S.C. 1151.
I was arrested in Indian country.
And if they say, are you a Native American? You must say that's irrelevant. I'm parked in Indian country. That's what the law says. Read up 18 U.S.C. 1151. Find the exact longitude, latitude, legal description of the spot where you are parked and challenge them. Just like speeding tickets. Challenge the speed measuring equipment. When was it last calibrated? Have a look at the technical record of the speed measuring equipment. Challenge it. Number two, you are traveling in Indian country. Okay?
Got it. So then that brings me to another question. If you're if we're traveling in Indian country and decide to leave to travel elsewhere, and these pretenders decide that they're going to take you or confiscate your passport and thereby inhibit your right to travel, how would you challenge? Would you use the same argument to challenge that as well? That hasn't happened to
send
me.
Send out the GTH LMA letter. Tell them you don't need their driver licenses, you don't need their permission, you don't need their consent and their approval. Rescind the contract. Yes?
Yep. Well, what's really interesting is I was reading some stuff where it said that the Supreme Court of the United States had said that a driver's license is not required to operate an automobile as long as you're not in commerce, meaning you're not driving a taxi or as a chauffeur. So,
well, go ahead and cancel your contract with the state. So
yeah, when you do that, they put it in as suspended as opposed to canceling the contract.
No, that is their take, that they have suspended your license. But how can you suspend my license if I'm not in contract with you? How can you fire me when I don't work with you?
Exactly.
Huh? So?
I agree.
Cancel your contract. You see, the law is designed so that there'll be peace, harmony, tranquility in order to form a more perfect union. You talking what? The right to be let alone. The law may be an ass, but it need not be asinine. So cancel the contract, tell them goodbye. I got nothing to do with you. and don't give them an excuse. Don't give yourself a reason to walk into their jurisdiction. What do I mean by that? When it says 40 or 75, the speed limit is posted, go below it. When you break their law, you have entered their jurisdiction. What is the meaning of jurisdiction? What is the definition of jurisdiction? Somebody.
Law expression.
Thank you. Law expression. Expression of their law or expression of tribal law? So law expression says 70. You're doing 80. Now, the expression of their law determines the right to punish you. Why give them that right? Why give them probable cause? Do what I do every day before my driver gets my car out. He starts the car. I look out. I'll tell him put all the signals. I walk front, back, brake lights. Make sure everything works. The bulb costs $2. The stupid fine is $85. Check, recheck, cross-check. Sometimes when I don't have the driver in the weekends and I want to go on a leisurely drive, I start the engine first and I walk around, make sure there's enough air in my tires, make sure all the lights are working, make sure nobody put a nail under my tire. Do a walk around. I still fly airplanes, so I do a walk around. Do that before you start your car. I've seen people start their car, put it into gear, boom, off they go. Don't even let the engine warm up for a minute or two. So check these things, law expression. Don't give them jurisdiction. All right, contact Zianu Washito. Contact the Manafe Tanasi, you know, Zara Bay. Get the decal. Make sure that they have contacted the DMV. Do your own thing. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. I have paid this tribe $37 a year for my tab. The law says no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. I don't want your DMV tab, Mr. Policeman Todd. Use the law, apply the law, define the law, describe the law, identify, define, evaluate, examine, apply. The law is on your side. Bad memory is also on your side because you can't recall these things fast enough. You want to be a lawyer, you got to think on your feet. Like today I was having a private conversation and the man said, you're singing to the choir. I told him, yeah, but the choir doesn't sing. So you got to preach to the choir. Choir is not doing its job. The words are accepted most strongly against the person offering them. This is your contra proferentum, remember? Mm-hmm. The next one in the list, verba charateram, fortius escipuntur, contra proferentum. Remember that, folks?
Yep.
This is the thing, the words are accepted most strongly against the person offering them. That's my phone. Stand by. Be there in a minute. Stand by. Okay, I'm back. So, everything falls into place, doesn't it?
Yes.
When it comes to making sure a contract benefits both sides, the intention of the party, the suppression of the truth, an illegal act doesn't present a cause of action, don't bring in strangers. Mentioning one thing may exclude another thing, and contra preferentum. So think about these things, learn them, use them, identify them, and literally live by them, folks. It'll make you a much more satisfied, contented person. See, in America, I was satisfied. I was never contented. Contented. I've come to live in the Far East. I'm content and I'm satisfied. See, that's the difference. Because in America, they don't leave you alone. The tyranny, the terrorism never stops. One time, I was going to convert my garage in Diamond Bar into an office. So I got in the carpenter, and sure enough, a stupid whistleblower, nothing else better to do, called in the city. My guards walked out with guns. The city ran. I said, who the hell are you to come and tell me what I cannot do in Indian country? Oh, the guy said, no. I said, what? No, what? Show me your title that you own this piece of property. They let me alone. I built my office. But they knew that my guards were armed.
Are we still on or it's finished?
Let me see.
Yeah, it's good to get armed guards. Because the Second Amendment has not been repealed, last time I checked. It doesn't mean that only I can afford to have armed guards. You can afford to have armed guards. Your right to bear arms for the security of your free state. All right, folks. We'll
yes.
stop there for now and continue with this issues, Latin maxims, the next class. Any questions, concerns, applications, worries, frets, moans, groans, all welcome.
You gave me a lot to work on, Judge. Thank you.
Well, they said we have 24 hours a day. Use as much time as you can to learn your rights.
Right.
When you learn your rights, you apply the law.
Yeah.
Dr. Jason here.
Yeah.
With the item, the qualified written request, how long do they have to, I didn't get a chance to read it all, but how long does it take them to answer this, your query?
Read the law. Read the law. You want to be a lawyer? Read the law. Why ask me? Read the law. Look at the law. You know what the law is? 12 U.S.C., Section 2605, Subsection E, Subsection 1, Subsection B. Read the law. It'll tell you how long they have before they can answer you. And what you need to do if they don't answer you. You need to sue them. Read the law. You want to be a lawyer? Read. You don't understand it? Call me. Don't call me, ask me when you've not read the law. To be trained, you got to know the law, read the law, understand the law. You don't understand, you call me. Is that fair enough?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next. You need to apply yourselves at least 4 hours a day to the study of law. If you got 4 hours at one stretch, good for you. Or do it 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 4 hours. Me, I spend a lot of time. I read every decision. Go to www.findlaw.com. You can read all that's happening in court system, all the courts in all the 50 states, findlaw.com. Here it is. It's free. www.findlaw.com. I spend hours reading that. I don't bother reading the newspaper. For what? 15 people died today following an explosion by a ship that was trying to berth itself. And the smile on the face of the anchor. Oh, my God, 15 died. Most should have died, but, you know, they're so happy to talk about bad news. You never get good news. 10,000 people got together today and celebrated the birthday of their 9-year-old. They were so happy. You never get to hear that. All you hear is a rape here, a murder there, some killing somewhere. White guy kills black guy kills white. That's all you get to hear. You never get to hear good news. You notice that. I'm sure you do.
Yep. Well,
so sometimes I watch the news, but I mute it so I can see only the words. I don't want to hear these idiots. All right, folks. If there are no other questions, we'll see you next time. Stay focused. Stay tuned. Be blessed. Be wise. Be settled. Bye.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Judge. Thank you, Judge. Bye.
Wow, that's another great class. Most definitely is. Is there anyone with a question, comment, suggestion? Just press one. Press the number one. Since there are no questions, comments, or suggestions, I'll go ahead and end the episode, and I'll see you all tomorrow night. Thank you.